Hallelujah. Wow, it's just stories, but you sense the presence of God, eh? So Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15 and 16 and 17. What is our response when we hear about these God encounters? Paul says, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is." Let's pray. Father, we thank you and we praise you. Lord, we thank you for the stories of the history of us as a people, the history of our salvation, and Lord, walking those steps that you've walked here on earth, and just remembering, like Mom Fia said, remembering where our lives have started and thinking upon that. And even as we've heard the stories this morning, I thank you that there is no heart in this room that wasn't stirred about where all of our lives has started. And so we come again to this word. We come again in faith, in renewed faith, God. Lord, that you would continue to enlighten the eyes of our understanding so that we may know the hope in whereby you have called us out of darkness into your marvelous light. Father, we hunger to be good stewards of that light, and we hunger to be good stewards of what you've done for us. And so this morning again, we come with an anticipation to be changed again. We don't want to come with familiarity, and we don't want to come with just routine, because this is what we do at this hour every Sunday. But Father, we come to encounter you. And so we ask you, God, that you would stir our hearts again. We love you, Jesus, for who you are. And as we behold you in your word, do what you do best. And that is change us, Father God. We love you. We adore you. We thank you, God, that you are our life, in Jesus' name. And all of the church in agreement say, amen. Again, we acknowledge Dad and Mom. We were in Auckland because our only grandson, we have five grandgirls, as some of you ladies know from conference. So we finally have a grandson, and he was born. He's a American Kiwi born boy, so he's going to have dual citizenship, and that's great. But most of all, he's going to be a citizen of heaven, so that's important. And so we decided to hop on over here for the weekend. It's always good to come home to Dad and Mom. And every time we come to Faith City, it always feels like home to us. So we're glad to be with family this morning. But as we march into critical times, there is a dramatic escalation of activity in the spirit world. I think we all sense that as the church of God. And a lot is being mirrored in the natural realm. And I think as the church, we can agree that both dimensions right now reflects the intensity of the last day's heavenly battle that seems to be kicking into high gear. In our nation last week with our midterm elections, it is absolutely a battle between good and evil. So not only are these times extremely crucial, but they are also days of great advances for the church. And so the New Testament talks a lot about the church, the times that we are in, and how we are to live out our lives as Christians effectively. And this morning, I just came with the message to encourage the body of Christ. We're going to be looking at a verse of scripture where Paul talks about the church and using military language. In fact, the verse that I want to unpack with you this morning would have been appropriate for a general to say to his troops just before they went out into battle. We, however, live in a generation where the church, by and large, have lost sight of a couple of things. Number one, we have lost the fact that we're an army. Number two, we've forgotten that there's an enemy in many pockets of the church. And number three, we have also filled our seats, especially the Western church, all across. We have filled, it seems like we have filled our seats with people who are biblically illiterate. We don't have a clear grasp of Bible doctrine, so we don't really know what our Christian worldview should be. And we also have no way to analyze or evaluate the trends that sort of sweep in over us every so often. And as a result of that, we have Christians that have this idea that every doctrine is open for discussion. And the church in general today suffer from what C.S. Lewis referred to as chronological snobbery. And it's the idea that if something is new and shiny and fresh, that it must be better than anything that is old. Psalms 24 speaks of the King of Glory that is coming. And the writer of Psalms write a beautiful reminder for us that we must live in anticipation of that incredible event that every Christian on this side of heaven looks forward to. But before the King of Glory arrives, we cannot lose sight of the fact that he has left you and I here as a force that was intended to win a war. So the Apostle Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 16:13 that we're going to read. And as we read it, I want you and I to hear it this morning as a kind of call for us to be this certain kind of people, to remain this certain kind of people. 1 Corinthians 16:13 is one of those verses that I feel is so fitting for a generation like ours that is marked by a desperation to be liked by our culture, that we literally have Christians who are trying to test the direction of the wind, meaning they literally want to test what direction of the cultural parade is going and then breathlessly race to try to get in front of the parade. But the fact of the matter is, church, we need to have a sense of what we have been handed and what we have been charged to protect. And you know, and when mom was talking about that moment she had with God, I got stirred in my spirit because, you know, this is the kind of stirring. These are the kind of moments that we should have with God because we have a sense of what we have been handed and what we have been charged as the church to protect. In other words, church, we need to understand the enemy and the battle in front of us and identify why it is that we are still here. 1 Corinthians 16:13, in the New Living Translation, it says, be on guard, stand firm in the faith, be courageous, be strong. Church, may we never overlook the plain truth that we will be under severe attack simply because of our commitment to be the answer of God in this hour. We are a threat to the agenda of darkness. We are a disturbance to his war plan. Our prayers and service unto God are constant irritations to the devil's skin. And you know what? Jesus didn't try to hide that reality from us. In fact, in Luke 10:3, Jesus told us the kind of environment that he was sending us into. And I love how the Message Bible says it. He says, it reads in the Message Bible, on your way, but be careful. This is hazardous work. You're like lambs in a wolf pack. And for those very reasons, we must, like 1 Corinthians 16:13 says, we must be on guard. Stand firm in the faith. Be courageous. Be strong. I don't know about you, but I think the message is pretty clear and straightforward, eh? That to be God's answer in this hour, there are three simple imperatives that the Apostle Paul highlights for us. It says, be on guard. What does that mean? If I were to put a point, you know, to this part of the verse, it would be a watcher, church. Stand firm in faith. Be a watcher. Be on guard. The military tone of this verse is clearly deliberate. These are orders for an army going to combat. Paul was reminding them, as he's reminding us in this hour, that the Christian's existence in this earthly realm is a battle and not a banquet. We are soldiers engaged in warfare, not merrymakers enjoying a party. Church, do we get that? Because frankly, most contemporary evangelicals don't get it. In fact, the typical evangelical church seems to think that Christ has called us to be clowns who entertain the world rather than soldiers whose duty is to wage war against false religion and spiritual lies. The church is supposed to be an army waging war against worldly values, especially in this time, in these crucial times that we are in. In another Bible translation, it reads, be on alert, referring to a word, gregoria. It's a Greek word that speaks of staying awake, being attentive, standing guard. Paul goes on to say, stand firm in the faith. Don't just stand guard or be a watcher of your faith, but for the faith of others. You know, every time you show up at church, you're guarding someone else's faith. Every time you show up at church, you're protecting each other's faith. You're egging each other's faith on. That's why the Bible says, do not forsake this. Don't forsake the fellowship of the saints. Why? Because we don't just come to receive from the word. We come to egg on each other's faith. So one of the favorite slogans of our age is, oh, let's just agree to disagree. And then virtually every point of truth is casually set aside as trivial and unnecessary. The mentality, a refusal to fight for the truth. You know what? It has done horrific damage to the body of Christ and to the evangelical movement. Let's just agree to disagree. Well, no. How about we just argue until one of us actually refutes the other and we come to a common understanding of God's word? In Matthew 26, Jesus likened prayer to the responsibility of watching. Matthew 26, verse 40 to 41, it says, then he returned to the disciples and found them asleep. He said to Peter, couldn't you watch with me even for an hour? Keep watch and pray so you will not give into temptation, for the spirit is willing, but the body is weak. Here, our Lord and Savior is talking about practical and prayerful watchfulness, staying awake and being alert in the face of a danger they did not see coming at that moment, even though he warned them repeatedly the 3.5 years that they were together. Can I tell you that church prayer meetings is not supposed to be reserved for all the old nanas, right? You know, because it seems like, oh, when it calls prayer meeting, oh, it's a certain age group that goes. But Jesus is saying to all of us as the church at this hour, be watchers. If you're going to be an effective answer, you're going to have to be committed to prayer, no matter what age you are. And I'm not just flippantly talking about traditional, nonchalant religious praying. I'm referring to praying as an all-night soldier on guard duty who doesn't want any security breach on their watch. Turn to somebody this morning and let's preach and tell them, be a watcher. Tell them, stand firm in faith. Amen. Paul says, stand firm in faith. And if you are tempted to tone down and, you know, and apologize for it or explain it away because it conflicts so dramatically with the spirit of this age, then you know what? The church needs to repent of that attitude and ask God to give us more conviction and give us more courage. To be the answer, you must be a watcher. To be the answer, you must be a fighter. Be courageous. The King James Version has a very interesting translation to this part of the verse. It says, quit you like men. The term quit you like men means play a man's part in the battle. Strike with all the force of your muscles. Hold nothing back in unleashing force. And it has nothing to do with gender preference, right? Says, be courageous. It's one aspect of what Paul is saying to us, but it's not the full gist, but it's a good head start. The Greek terminology is the word adrizomai, which literally means play the man, or in modern terminology, man up, right? Man up. Turn and tell your neighbor, come on, man up your faith. Tell him, quit you like men. Quit you like man is also saying stop acting like children, right? Children are characterized by their non-proficiency, instability, and weakness. And yet Paul is saying to the church, fight like men, defend the faith in a manly way. Paul in 1 Corinthians 14:20 exhorts us about growing up and becoming mature. He says, dear brothers and sisters, don't be childish in your understanding of these things. He says, be innocent as babies when it comes to evil, but be mature in understanding matters of this kind. Paul also wrote to the church in Ephesus about growing up in Ephesians 4:14-15. And he says, then we will no longer be immature like children. We won't be tossed and blown about by every wind of new teaching. We will not be influenced when people try to trick us with lies so clever they sound like the truth. In verse 15, he says, instead, we will speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of his body, the church. Now, obviously, he's not referring to physical or natural strength, but the strength that grows in your spirit. The Apostle Paul said, Ephesians 3:16, I pray that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man. Church, there's no way that we can be an effective answer in this hour if we remain weak and spiritually anemic. You know, when Paul said be courageous, he was referring to our hearts and what our hearts are constantly filled with. You know, and my husband explains it so well. He says courage is a combination word made up of two languages, Spanish and English. Core is heart in Spanish. Rage is a violent, unstoppable force in English. Both words combined means heart rage. So be a watcher, be a fighter in your heart rage for God. Keep it raging, especially in this hour. And then the third point would be to be the effective answer in this day, you must be a soldier. The Paul says, be strong. Church, it's not enough just to be bold. Christian soldiers need to be strong in order to withstand both opposition and persecution. Listen, if you are going to enter the battle in earnest, you will need to be able to endure antagonism, endure derision, controversy, contempt, and abuse of every single kind. How many of you are getting that we are in that time, right? We are in that time. And the Bible, you know, teaches and it gives, and we see it all around us. It comes from the, you know, from those who are intelligent. It comes from the dregs of society alike. It'll come from worldly governments. It'll come from common people. It'll come from the academic elite of this world. The Bible teaches that they will all conspire together to what? To oppose us, just as they oppose Christ himself. So church, this is imperative. You know, this imperative isn't referring to how much we can bench press or even the size of our biceps. It's definitely not speaking of our strength or expertise. This strength is that which we can only draw from the Lord. A strength that is in direct proportion to our intimate relationship with God. This strength is that which Moses made reference to when he was exhorting Joshua, his protege, in Deuteronomy 31:6. He said to this young man, so be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid and do not panic before them. For the Lord your God will personally go ahead of you. He will neither fail you nor abandon you. Be strong, church, is referring to our cause. Be strong for the sake of our cause. Be strong for the sake of the results and the outcome of our steadfastness. You know, Matthew Poole's commentary says, you are as soldiers fighting against the world, fighting against the flesh and the devil. Do not behave yourselves like children whom the least opposition will terrify and throw down, but like men with spiritual courage and fortitude, becoming such who have so good a captain and so good a cause. Did you hear that? We have so good a captain and so good a cause. You know, every soldier that goes to war is not motivated by just protecting himself, but more so driven by the cause of protecting a nation and generations to come. When you are clear about our cause, you won't have problems being an effective answer. So we said this morning, to be an effective answer, we must be a watcher, we must be a fighter, and we must be a soldier. And so in winding down these thoughts, I want to tell you a story. I don't know if it's a true story, but it's an appropriate story for the point that I'm trying to drive home. And the story goes that a pastor was driving home one night with his wife and two daughters in the car. It was raining and dark, and because of the intensity of the rain, he could hardly see past his headlights. And on the way, he had to drive over this huge bridge. There were signs posted all along the bridge that said, "Do not pick up hitchhikers." Not too far from that bridge was an institute for the criminally insane. And sometimes people would escape from that institute and try to hitch a ride. Well, somewhere near the top of the bridge, a man suddenly appeared in the headlights. He was soaked, standing in the middle of the road with his shirt off, and he was frantically waving it over his head and screaming something. And the pastor's wife tells her husband, "Oh, honey, please don't stop. Try to drive around him." But the man was unavoidable, and there was no way for the car to miss hitting him. So the pastor stops the car. And the man appeared in front of the hood, and he slapped his hand down on the hood of the car and was screaming something at the top of his lungs. The pastor tells his wife, "Lock the door when I get out and don't unlock it until I return." So the pastor opens his door and steps out, and it was heavy raining that night. And so he steps out into the heavily falling rain. And as he approaches the front of the car to grab the man, all of a sudden he could make out what the man was screaming. "The bridge is out! The bridge is out! A busload of kids just went over! The bridge is out!" And as the screaming man's voice registered in the pastor's mind, he looked back at his family sitting in the car, and he wrapped his arms around the man and wept in gratitude, realizing that because someone stepped out to be an effective answer. And so his family was spared. And so for the next half hour, the pastor stood there in the rain with the man in the middle of that road, waving jackets above their heads to every approaching car, screaming, "The bridge is out! The bridge is out!" Church, how does that relate to you and I in this hour? You know, one of the prophetic points as we go into 2019 is the fact that God has the harvest on his mind. And so, for the lost and dying world, the bridge is out. For your loved ones heading to a Christless eternity, if we don't reach out now, the bridge is out. For somebody in this room who may be struggling in their marriage, the bridge is out. For some of you, for your wayward children that you've been believing for, that they would return to Jesus, the bridge is out. Now, the confronting question for us today is, will you be a jacket waver for them? Will you stand in the middle of the road and do all that you can to forbid them from perishing? Will you decide before New Year's resolution time comes around, will you decide right now that in 2019, you're not just gonna be just a churchgoer that just does your Sunday routine, but will you decide right now, because God is asking you by the Holy Spirit, will you be a jacket waver? Will you stand in the middle of the road and do all that you can to forbid people from perishing? The Bible in Isaiah 5:14 tells us that hell has developed a huge appetite, swallowing people nonstop. I don't know who's in this room, and I don't know if all of you have a relationship with Jesus, but I want to say to someone who may be here who don't have a relationship with Jesus, that if you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ, you're not only lost for eternity, you're lost right now. Will you commit your life to be an effective answer in 2019? Will you be one of those who will stand in the gap, who will stand on the streets, who will stand in your break room at work, who will stand in your campus at school, who will stand on the streets, the highways and the byways to forbid multitudes from going to hell with the gospel of Jesus Christ? We are living in very crucial times. And what does that mean for you and I as the church? What does that mean for 2019 for you? What is 2019 going to look like for you in being an effective answer? You know, the book of Romans, it tells us something very, very significant. And it not only just lays out the plan of salvation, but it also lays out instructions for the church. And one of the instructions is that we need to awake from our sleep. Amen. We need to awaken from our sleep. And so my challenge to us today, will you be a watcher? Will you be a soldier? Will you be a fighter? Amen. And I've just been praying that God, everywhere I've gone in the last, since I've been here for Royal Daughters, I've been a few other places, and this has been the challenge. God says, tell my church, tell them that I need them to rise up. Amen. And so even as the team comes, I don't know what the Holy Spirit has spoken to you, but I know this is the kind of message that you're going to have to respond, right? You can't just sit there and, right? I know God has stirred some, and as the team come, I'm going to ask us to stand. And however it is that you, God has been speaking to you, maybe for some of you, God has been telling you, I need you to be a watcher. I need you to pray more. I need you to look around Whanganui and look around this whole region. And as things get stirred, you know, don't be the part of the negative, right? Be a watcher. Pray effectively because prayer will change it. Amen. For some of you, God is just saying, you know, David said to us this morning, if you find yourself in an in-between time, it's not time to go back, right? It's time to stand and be a fighter. So as we stand this morning and the team prepares, I don't know what it is that you have to recommit your life to unto God to do. Maybe for some of you, you have to recommit to be a watcher. Because sometimes we become watchers and then sometimes we get tired of watching because it's like, man, I don't know if it's changing anything. But God is recalling us again, afresh and anew, be a watcher. Maybe for some of you, you know, you like mom said, you're looking out at the circumstances of life. And at that moment, Jesus had a decision to make. And he had to decide whether he was going to go forth with the plan or he was just going to give it all up. And man, thank God. How many of you are thankful this morning that he decided not to give it up. He decided to press forth. And maybe that's where some of you are. You're just at that verge of, you know, you're in that in-between place. And it's been a rough year. And it's been a year that you weren't anticipating some things that happened, but things had happened, right? And maybe now you're thinking, well, you know, I'll just close the year out. And then starting next year, I'm just going to go a different direction. And God, by his Spirit, is saying, no, stay and be a fighter, right? Stay and be a fighter. And maybe for some of you, you need to pick up that weapon again and be a soldier, right? I always love to translate this example from the movie Lone Survivor, you know, where there was just a few of them that had to fight the Taliban army. And then somebody yelled out during the battle, says, I'm it. You know, and the leader said, well, can you still fight? And they said, well, yeah, I think so. Well, then get in there and fight. And maybe I'm just that voice coming back to some of you here today that, you know, maybe you're at the crossroad of your Christian walk and your relationship with God. And you maybe you're saying, man, I've just been hit too many times. I don't know if I want to continue with this Christian thing because I've just been hit too many times. Well, let me ask you, can you still fight? Because we need every gun, we need every weapon. Amen. And you know, people are saying that, you know, the church is facing their worst days. No, we are facing our most glorious days, right? We are facing our most glorious days. Come on, if you believe that, give the Lord praise. We're facing our most glorious days and we're not giving up anything. Amen. And so, however it is that God has stirred your heart, as soon as the team sings, I want us to come as a family, to just come stand here. What are you doing? It's a prophetic act. You know, something, is there power in you just leaving your seat and come? Perhaps not. But, you know, the presence of God just comes when we obey prophetic acts. And sometimes it's just a prophetic act to just step out of your seat and go, God, here I am again. I'm going to seek you first again, right? So team, go ahead and sing whatever it is you prepared. In fact, don't even wait for the song. Just step out. If God is stirring you, just step out. It's not the end of the year yet, so we're just going to come and rededicate ourselves and our commitment to God afresh and anew. Because we're an army. We recognize that. We got to awaken to that again. Yes. Let's declare this song as our song of prayer to God. You are.